Good morning. A couple of intimations. Just to remind you to enter through this door when you leave the church, if this side of the church could leave first. If you're going for coffee, you can go through to the hall or go home. And this side of the church, if they're going for coffee, go through this door. And if you're just going home, go out the side door there. But if this side of the church could go first. Another announcement on behalf of Chris, the youth worker, and myself. Chris and I recently completed a course through Scripture Union called Bible Alive. And basically what it is, it's bringing the Bible alive to school children as part of the curriculum for primaries 5, 6, and 7. It's storytelling, drama, and a lot of interaction with the children, bringing from the start of the Bible right through to Revelation. But we need a lot of props to do this. So at the back of the church, there's a box, just like Holiday Club, with a clipboard on it, with a list of some things that we would like. If anyone has old curtains or old bed sheets or fancy making up some sort of headdresses, like shepherd-type headdresses, we're looking, I think, for a toy frog, prison bars. If anyone is crafty and feels like helping us make some stuff or anything that you think might be of use to us, please speak to us. And we also need an empty tin of golden syrup, so all you bakers, don't throw out your golden syrup tins. Thank you. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 86, and it's verse 12 to 17. Psalm 86, verse 12 to 17. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Amen. And our first song this morning is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you. Let us pray. God of wisdom, whose knowledge is too wonderful for us, who created the world and all that it contains, who knows each blade of grass and hair upon our head, we are grateful for the part we play in your vision for creation, and we offer you praise for your infinite love for us and our world. God of parables, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who brings your wisdom to us through parables and stories, through love and action, through prayer and sacrifice. We thank you that even when we are not wise enough to grasp your message, your love for us never falters and your patience with us is unceasing. God of inspiration, we thank you that we are not you, that we do not have to hold all that you hold, that we have limits and we are limited, yet you still trust us to be partners in your creation. By the power of the Holy Spirit, encourage us in our journey with you. Inspire us to live for your kingdom, seeking your wisdom in all we say and do. Merciful God, we confess that we think we know what is best. We go our own way instead of yours. We feel our needs before the needs of others. We speak to suit our mind instead of your will. We take without question and use without thought. Forgive us for relying on our own wisdom instead of yours. Forgive us for the times we have ignored the injustices our greed and desire for dominance have created. Forgive us for when our words cut and hurt and harm instead of lift up and heal and renew. Forgive us for the ways in which we place ourselves at the center of your creation instead of part of it. Amend what we are. Direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your wisdom and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing again that beautiful hymn, My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Good morning, children.
Good Good morning, children. Do we have children in church this morning? I think we do. How are you this morning? Good. Good to see you all looking so well and happy. Are you happy? Happy to be in church? Very good. I want to ask a question which is a bit personal, but probably you will know the answer, and it's about Zerah. Do you know that Zerah's first name is actually two names, even though we often call her Zerah? Do you know that? I think you two know. Do you know that, Daniel? Do you know that, Grace? You don't know. Okay, can you tell us what that name is? Talitha. Talitha. So Zerah's first name is actually a compound name, Talitha Zerah. But I think Zerah is easy, so that's why we just call her Zerah. But it's actually Talitha Zerah. And Talitha means little girl or little lamb in Aramaic. And Zerah is from Hebrew. It means shine forth. So Zerah's name is little girl, shine forth. Is that not a beautiful name? Little girl, shine forth. And the name Talitha, we took that name from the Bible. It is contained in a story about a man, a wealthy man who was taking care of the church, whose daughter was ill and finally died. And when Jesus Christ went to the scene, he said to that little girl, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, rise up. And so that girl, little girl, came back to life. She was only 12 years. So we added Zerah to Talitha and took away the kum, which is rise up, and added Zerah to mean, little girl, shine forth. Because I think that Jesus Christ wants little children to continue to shine. He wants you to shine. He doesn't want any of you to be lost. He doesn't want any of you to die. He wants you to do what? Shine. And because Jesus saw this little girl who had died, and he was not happy, he decided to bring her back to life so that little children like you can continue to shine. You are in this world for a purpose. God has created and given all of us life for a purpose. Do you remember that song? How is that song again? Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure, or is it pure, clear? Like a little candle burning in the in this world is darkness, so let us shine. You in your own corner and I in mine. So how are we supposed to shine? What are some of the things that we need to do so that we can continue to shine as children? You remember? Think of any? Being good at home? What again? Doing your homework from school? Going to bed when dad or mom says go to bed. How many of you do that? Praying before meals. Praying before going to bed. Praying first thing in the morning. Being a good example for other children in school to follow. All these things will make you shine. And it's our prayer each day as we bring you to church and pray for you that we will continue to shine as the light of the world. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning, and we thank you especially for our children. We thank you for that great miracle when Jesus Christ brought back again to life that little girl who had passed on. And we thank you because Jesus loves little children just as he loves everyone that he has created in his own image. So we pray especially for our children that they will continue to shine forth in all that they do. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We will now worship God again together as we sing that hymn, King of Kings, Majesty.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 12, reading from verses 15 to 23. 2 Samuel chapter 12, 15 to 23. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloths on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering amongst themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, and now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. We now move to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, reading from verses 21 to 24, then 35 to 43. Mark 5, 21 to 24. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large cloud followed and pressed around him. And on to verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to these readings from his holy word.
Lord, the light of your love is shining. Our next hymn.
Oh,
Let us pray. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. Speak to us now, O Father. Let us be ready to listen, to hear you, and to do what you call us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, Alison Haywood asked me whether I was preparing the congregation for death. And the question was because for some time the sermons have been on death. And my answer was yes, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is about edifying us and helping us to live lives that are consecrated to him, but also to prepare us for eternity. And there is no eternity without death. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, has power over death. Our New Testament text this morning from Mark chapter 5 contains two different but similar stories about death and about human problems. The story of the woman with the hemorrhage is set within the story of Jairus and his daughter. And in these stories, Mark creates dramatic tension by telling the two stories together. And each story finds enhanced interest and power through the juxtaposition, or its juxtaposition with the other. I am not going to dwell on both stories this morning, but would highlight a few things as I seek to carry you with me in the one which is our text concerning Jairus and his daughter. Both stories show Jesus dealing with people of vastly different standing. Jairus is well-to-do and influential, while the woman with the hemorrhage is financially impoverished and socially outcast. Jesus does not favor one over the other. He neither rebukes Jairus for his money and social standing, nor ignores the woman because of her poverty and marginality. Our Lord Jesus Christ breached the dividing walls of society and reached out to people, no matter who and what they were. Our text is a great miracle concerning the family member of an important man. A dead girl is restored to life. And we already learn from these verses that no man is beyond the reach of sorrow and difficulty. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He had wealth and all the medical help that wealth can command. Yet sickness and trouble came to his house, and money could not keep death away from his child. Friend, the daughters of rulers are liable to sickness as well as the daughters of poor people. Sometimes we think and talk as if the possession of riches was the great antidote to sorrow, and as if money could secure us against sickness and death. But it is the very extreme of blindness to think so. We have only to look around us and see many proofs to the contrary. Death comes to palaces as well as to cottages, to landlords as well as to tenants, to the rich as well as to the poor. It will not be kept out by locks and bars. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. But happy are those who set their affections on things above. They have a treasure which is incorruptible
and in a little while there shall be where no evil tidings prevail. All tears shall be wiped from their faces. They shall mourn no more. Never again shall they hear those sorrowful words, your daughter, your son, your wife, your husband is dead, because the former things will have passed away. We must learn from this passage about the almighty power of our Lord Jesus Christ. The message which pierced the ruler's heart, telling him that his child was dead, did not stop Jesus Christ for a moment. At once he cheered the father's fainting spirits with these gracious words, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Knowing that every ray of hope had been swept away by the announcement of death, Jesus Christ ignored these words and spoke encouragingly to Jairus, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." His faith was faltering, and it was through faith that the child would be raised. Where there is life, there is hope. But with God, we must also believe that where there is death, there is hope as well. Jesus Christ comes to the house where many are weeping and wailing and enters the room where the girl is lying. He takes her by the hand and says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." At once, the heart begins to beat again and the breath returns to the lifeless body. The girl arose and walked. No wonder that we read the words, "At this they were completely astonished." Think with me, friends, for a moment how wonderful the change was which took place in that house, from weeping to rejoicing, from mourning to congratulations, from death to life. How great and marvelous must have been the transition. And only those who have seen death face to face and had the light of their households quenched and felt the iron entering their own souls can understand what happened here. Only they can conceive what the family of Jairus must have felt when they saw their beloved one given back to them by the power of Christ. There must have been a happy family gathering that night. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is ready and able to heal and restore us from the troubles of this earthly life. Most of us can think of people who have recently suffered painful illness, serious accident, loss of a beloved one, breakup of a family, or some other tragedy. Children have lost a mother. Parents have lost a child or are watching him daily grow weaker from a debilitating disease. Many people suffer continual pain for which even the strongest medicine has lost its effectiveness. Others face long months and years of rehabilitation as they seek to adjust their lives to the loss of limb, sight, hearing, or motor function. The Bible tells us our Lord deeply cares about these infirmities. In John 11, when Mary came out to meet Jesus as he was approaching Bethany after the death of Lazarus, John reports that when he saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. Jesus himself wept, and again, being deeply moved, we then came to the tomb. As a sympathizer beyond anything we can imagine, Jesus was deeply grieved because he could and can clearly and completely see the pain and power of sin. This glorious miracle of Jairus' daughter is another proof of what Jesus can do for dead souls, both physically and spiritually. He can raise our children and all of us from death of trespasses and sins and make us walk before him in newness of life. He can take our sons and daughters by the hand and say to them, arise, and bid them leave not to themselves, but to him that died for them and rose again. Friend, have we a dead soul in our family? People who are apprehensive to the things of God and wouldn't want to hear anything about Christ? Let us call on the Lord to come and quicken them. Let us send to Christ message after message and entreat him to help. He that came to the support of Jairus is still full of mercy and mighty in power. Finally, let us see in this miracle a blessed pledge of what our Lord will do in the day of his second coming. He will call his believing people from their graves. He will give them a better, more glorious, and more beautiful body than they had in the days of their pilgrimage here on earth. He will gather his elect from north and south and east and west to part no more and die no more. Believing parents shall once more see believing children. Believing husbands shall once more see believing wives. So when we face death, let us stop sorrowing like those who have no hope. Let us look forward. There is a glorious resurrection morning yet to come. Those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plague. O grave, I will be your destruction. Hosea 13:14. He that raised the daughter of Jairus still lives. When he gathers his flock around him at the last day, not one lamb shall be found missing. Friends, Jesus' life, along with his death, grants life-changing healing to those who trust in him. It is a healing authority that crosses boundaries, both ethnic and gender ones. Jesus chooses not to leave people in the conditions in which he finds them, and he has the power to alter those conditions. And here, friends, is the challenge to the Christian community, that we seek also to alter the conditions of people's lives for good, bringing healing in troubled circumstances, crossing boundaries, whether they are related to ethnicity, gender, race, sexual orientation, politics, or any other boundaries that divide our society, and advocating life-giving meaning and change. May God grant us courage to bring healing to a troubled world as we hear again the words of Jesus Christ, Talitha cum, little girl, rise up. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you want to continue to remind us through the pages of Scripture that this world is not our home. And you want to remind us that as Christian people, even though we die, we will live again. We thank you for the story of that little girl whom your Son Jesus Christ brought back to life to show us that he has power over life and over death. Help us, O Father, to continue to seek you. Renew the dead places of our lives and give us hope in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear.
Let us now dedicate our offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we offer to you our gifts of time, talent, and money in order for the work of your kingdom to continue and flourish here on earth. Amen. And now let us bring in prayer the needs of the church, the world, and ourselves to God. There's a response in this prayer. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, the response is, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, we come to you through Jesus Christ, confident that you hear us. We pray for our world, which you so beautifully created. Now it is stained by famine and the acts of war, hatred, disobedience, and intolerance. We need to look at ourselves and change our attitude to our fellow brothers and sisters. We pray for peace, respect, and acknowledgement of each other, and know that despite being unique individuals with many differences, we are all your children and worthy of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the basic provisions of life, food, water, shelter, and love for everyone. Help us to share what we have to help and support those most in need. Small acts of kindness from us to others can have a life-changing effect. Lord, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for an end to suffering through war and political unrest. Give wisdom and compassion to world leaders so that it may prevent unnecessary hardship and bloodshed for the innocent. Help us to be more compassionate for those whose lives have been turned upside down and come to us to build their lives again in a safe haven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask you to comfort the sick, the dying, and the bereaved, in particular those in our church family coping with such things. Guide the hands of those in a position of giving medical, nursing, and social care, and the minds of those involved in research to find cures for debilitating diseases. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all children and young people. The future of the world and our church lies with them. We pray that all children have a right to an education and the gifts that you have bestowed on them identified and nurtured. We pray that all children are kept safe and protected from the many evils in this world aimed at them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, help each and every one of us to live the kind of lives you want us to live. Help us and forgive us when we fail to live up to your expectations, but may we always know that we are loved by you and that our Lord Jesus Christ is with us every step, and all we have to do is turn to him to be guided in the right direction. We ask all this through his precious name. Amen.
If you are able, please rise. Let us together affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing our final hymn.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.